I'm really excited about the word this morning. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and this is going to be about David, King David. We're jumping to that a little bit, and the name of this is Even the Baggage Crew Was Blessed, okay? Even the baggage crew is blessed. And not all of you are part of the baggage crew, but some of you might be this morning. And the good news for you is that even the baggage crew is blessed. Maybe you'll know what I'm talking about by the end of this. So, join me in prayer as we jump in. God, I thank you so much for the word of God. I thank you that we are Christians. We belong to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you that we've been rescued. God, thank you that we are no longer slaves to sin, that you have set us free. And Father, I ask, Lord, that as we open up your word, Lord, that it would be life to us, Lord, that it would energize our soul. And Lord, that it would be so obvious that you're speaking to us. So God, help me to speak this and help us to hear this. And Lord, penetrate our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, 1 Samuel 30, even the baggage crew is blessed. Now, before I jump in, one thing you need to know is the Old Testament is a shadow. In fact, in the New Testament, it says that everything was written as examples for us. So I grew up in church and knew a whole bunch of Bible stories, but you need to know that the Bible stories aren't just Bible stories. Like, they're shadows of what was to come. They were examples of the fullness of Christ and his church. And honestly, as soon as I understood that you need to read the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus and the church, everything in the Old Testament came to life. Everything in the Old Testament comes to life. The Old Testament isn't just a book of stories. So as we're going through this, I want you to be seeing, like, okay, what does this show us about Jesus? What does this show us about the church? What does this show us about you and me? And see, that's the thing. We could talk about these things that happened and know that it actually applies to our life. It's not just something to know. It actually applies to our life. So 1 Samuel 30, this is about David, and this is a season in his life. He had been anointed king. So that God had forgotten Saul. He had left Saul, who was king, and he had chosen David to be king. He'd chosen a man after his own heart to be king, and that was where the promise was going to come. God was going to establish his kingdom, but do you know what? Right now, he is running for his life, because Saul was going to kill him. So he is running for his life. And if you've ever, pardon me, read the story, you know, like, he's all over the place running for his life. Saul's coming with thousands of soldiers looking for him. And he keeps running. So this is a season of his life where he's actually living with the enemy. Okay? So Israel was at war with the Philistines, and he was actually living under the Philistines' rule, hiding from Saul, okay? And he was actually going to go to war with Israel, with the Philistines, and at the last minute, he got backed out. They said, we don't want you to fight. So they're going to fight Israel, and the Philistine leaders are like, we don't want you to fight with us. Go home. So they go home, okay? They were on the front lines, and they marched for 3 days, about 50, 60 miles, and that's when this story happens, okay? So you need to remember that they just got done with a long three-day hike of 50 miles. You know, just a little jaunt down the road. All right, we're not in Acts, we're in 1 Samuel 30. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag, that was their home. And before we go on, let's just appreciate Ziklag. I don't know if anyone else is still planning on having kids, but I was like, this is a strong boy's name. Ziklag. A little appreciation for Ziklag. I don't know. I just think that would be cool. Okay. So David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. Remember, they had been hiking. And the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. So the Amalekites had come in. while they were gone, had come in and then have raided Ziklag, and they had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both great and small. They didn't kill anyone. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. Verse 3, and when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons were taken captive. Then David and his people were with them, raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had also been captive, Ahinoam and Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed. That's an understatement. For the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each one for his sons and daughters. Let's stop there. What a bad day. What a bad day. Now what? Sometimes I think we read the Bible and we're like, oh, that bites. Okay, what's next? And we move on. But I want to sit here a little bit. So here is David. He knows that God's given him a promise that one day he's going to be king. But right now he's running for his life from Saul, who wants to kill him. Okay? That sounds rough. Okay? Let's say that's the first layer of trouble. Now he has hiked 3 days back, about 50 miles, and he comes and he sees his home burning, and his whole family is gone. Oh my goodness. Oh wait, and his people want to kill him. The people who are with him want to stone him because it's his fault. That's no wonder he was under distress. Now, I want to share this a little bit, because sometimes I pass through this part of, you know, their whole house was burned. Can you throw up that picture? I want to share with you what that's like, okay? Because that actually happened to me about 7 months ago, a little laugh. But this is my house, and actually right here is where the church got started, huh? Right there in the living room. And I remember walking into the neighborhood and just the smell of fire everywhere. I mean, my nasal cavity is still wrecked from the fire. Like, it was so strong. And smoke, I don't know if you can see, but just you can see the smoke just kind of coming up, and everything's gone. Everything's burnt. And I remember walking, and there wasn't tons of people, you know, everyone had fled, you know, but there were people walking, seeing their house, and just the look on faces. I mean, that's one of the things that was imprinted in my mind, just this look of just, I don't even know how to describe it, just so shell-shocked by just what happened. So it's easy to just breeze by what this is. But you need to know that this was, I mean, how can it get any worse? You're running for your life. Your home is burned. Everything you own, gone. And your family has been taken away. Oh, and then the people that you're with, the people who got your back, want to kill you. Where do you go from there? You think your day is tough. Psh, wimp. You know, like, I'm joking, but where do you go when life is like that? So heavy, so heavy. I don't know how you would respond, but I want to read to you this next passage that says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's what David did. Isn't that amazing? So after all that, David's response was he went to the Lord. not just like, what do I do? But he was strengthened by the Lord. Now, one thing you need to know, beloved, is that this was something that David did all the time. He always went to the Lord first. This is how he lived. Whether things were good or bad, hard or happy, it didn't matter. Like, he always went to the Lord. And this wasn't the first time that he was strengthened by the Lord. And this wasn't the first time he was in trouble. He always went to the Lord. So this isn't abnormal. Honestly, you should read this and be like, yeah, David does that. And we actually see a lot of the Psalms because this is a man after God's own heart. This is a man who always went to the Lord first. And beloved, one of the things I learned from the fire is like, you're either prepared or you're not. And what I mean by prepared is not like you have everything physically ready for disaster. What I'm saying is like, in your soul, you're ready. Because you've already know what it is to go to the Lord to find strength. One thing that's different here is that David is different than everyone else here. Everyone else is pissed, angry, absolutely devastated, wanting to kill their leader. And David's off with the Lord finding strength. Unbelievable. This speaks of what Jesus was talking about. He talked about a wise and a foolish builder. He said, you know, the foolish builder is someone who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice. That's a foolish builder. It's kind of like someone who builds a house on a sand. It looks the same. It looks like a house, but it's on sand. But the wise builder builds their house on the rock, which is Christ Jesus. It's strong. It doesn't move. So that when the winds come, so that when the waves come, they're not shaken. So David is a man who was prepared. Not that you know how to weather that. You know, like, you don't go to classes to figure out, okay, here's how to handle someone killing you, your wife and kids, and a house burn, and here's how you deal with that. No. The only thing David needed to know is that when you are in trouble, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you come to Jesus. You come to your rock. And he will strengthen you. That's it. That's it. David strengthened himself in the Lord. You know, I love reading the Psalms in light of the story and to see the prayers going on behind the scenes. And there's so much of what David wrote in the Psalm that's like, wow, there's some depth here knowing that this was real life happening. And you don't have to go far, you know, like I highlight in my Bible, so I just go through Psalms and I'm like, oh, that's one. Oh, that's another good verse. Oh, there's David doing it again. Psalms 52, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Amen? That's true. This is true. This is an example for us. That regardless of what you're going through, someone's got worse than you. No. That's not what it is. Regardless of what's happening, if we cast our burden to the Lord, if we come to him, he will strengthen you. That's good news. I think of when the scripture says, don't forget his benefits. You know, let's say thank the Lord that he's mighty to save. He rescues us from sin. He rescues us from death. He promises us life here and eternal life to come. But this is part of the package also, that when we are just in over our heads, that he will strengthen you. Thank God. So here's David. He strengthened himself in the Lord, and it is in that place of having first come to the Lord, like, I need you, and God satisfying and answering that prayer. In verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. The ephod was like the priestly garments. It was what was used to seek the Lord. So bring that before to David. And verse 8 says, and David inquired of the Lord, what should I do? What should I do? You know, a lot of people, when they're stuck with just the waves of life coming on, just freeze and are paralyzed. But here's David having to lead the people, let alone lead himself through this. Found his strength in the Lord, and then, what do I do? And you know what? God told him what to do. Go get him. Go get your family. Go get him. But he inquired of the Lord. You know, I think of Jesus in Luke 18. He gave an example of a parable. He said, I'm giving you this parable to tell you that you should always pray and not give up. Is that good? Always pray. Don't give up. Beloved, we get to pray to God. He's not worried about your circumstance. He's not lost with like, I didn't see that happening. Boy, that's a pickle. David, I didn't see those Amalekites, like they came out of nowhere. He's not worried. He's not worried. Beloved, there's a way through. There's a way through if you'll seek him first. Isn't that good? So David strengthened, encouraged, so he can lead the people, right? And then he inquires of the Lord, what do we do? What do we do? So the Lord tells them, pursue them. And then let's jump to verse 9. So David set out, and the 600 men who were with him. So that was the group that was with him. That was his army, essentially, 600. They started with about 400. It's up to 600. And they came to the brook Besor, and when those who were left stayed behind, but David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 stayed behind who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor. So I want you to picture this. So this whole army had marched 50 miles, remember? And then the city's burning, their family's gone, and David's like, we're going to go get them. So they start marching, and 200 of them, so a third of them, are like, I can't go on. I can't fight. I am in no condition. I've got nothing to give. We're going to come back to that, but you need to know that only 400 of them went on, and the Lord gave them a great victory. But verse 11 says, they found an Egyptian. Now remember, they don't know where their family is. God just said, go. God gave them a promise. So they're like, all right, let's trust the Lord. No idea how this is going to work out. But verse 11 is God's unbelievable answer to prayer. They found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David. That was God's answer. An Egyptian who was left by the Amalekites because he was feeling sick. So they were like, oh, whatever, discarded him. But the Egyptian was God's answer to show them where they're supposed to go. You never know when God's going to provide an Egyptian for you. A sick Egyptian, you know? I mean, you read that, and you just got to know God's ways aren't our ways. And that's why it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, because your understanding is not going to give you that conclusion. Your understanding is going to be like, you know what, guys? David's speech. Don't worry about your families. We're going to get them. Nothing's been lost. We're going to find an Egyptian who's sick, and he's going to lead us to him. It's fine. Don't worry. How ludicrous. Right? God's ways are not our ways. He's not worried because he's got a sick Egyptian to help you. Beloved, you need to know that regardless of what you see in life, God's always got an answer. But it's rarely what you think it's going to be. Rarely. It's so that years later, we look back and be like, look what God did. Like, this wasn't because David's a mighty leader. This is because God's good. That's it. So they find this Egyptian, and the Egyptian tells them right where they are. So they go, and they defeat the Amalekites. Like, they chase after them. And then what happens is that they find their families. They find their wives and their children. They found where they were, and they're fine. Nothing's happened with them. And not only that, but they capture all the loot, all the riches. They capture all of it. So they thought they had lost their families and their home, and they went back incredibly rich and incredibly wealthy. They won a great victory. It looked like defeat, but they ended up winning a great victory. It's unbelievable how that happens. Verse 18 says, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and David rescued his wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back all. David also captured all the flocks and herds, and the people drove the livestock before him." And they said, "This is David's spoil." So not only was this like, oh, we just got back, was lost. They came back with more. They came back with more. Isn't that awesome? Beloved, this is how God works. This is a kingdom principle. This is what it is to follow Jesus through hard times. It always seems like a loss. But on the other side, you realize that there are riches, more than what you thought. This is how God works. This is how he always works. This is the story of God's people. That's awesome. But the heart of my message is what's coming up next. This is what God really laid on my heart, is this next passage. And I want to start in verse 21. It said, "Then David came to the 200. Remember the 200 people who were too weary to go on? They were so discouraged. They were so tired. They were like, you guys fight for my family. I can't even fight for my family. You guys go. We're too tired. A third of the force." So David came back to the 200 who had been too exhausted to follow David and who had been left at the brook Besor. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with them. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. He greeted them. He didn't say, "You lazy fools. Where were you? Slacking over there by the brook, too weak to fight." No, he greeted them. "Then all the wicked and worthless fellows," remember this is part of the David's army, okay? They're called wicked and worthless among the men who had gone with David, said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may lead away his wife and children and depart." So, you can have your family. I don't even like your kids. Take them. It's fine. It's fine. Take your family. But the spoils, you don't get any of the spoils. You didn't fight for it. You were too weak. You didn't contribute anything. But David said, remember, this is a shadow, okay? But David said, "You shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us." Isn't that amazing? Yeah. With what the Lord has given us, he has preserved us and given into our hands the band that came against us. Verse 24, "Who would listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down into me with the battle, so shall his share be who stays with the baggage." Thank God for the baggage crew. They get blessed also. "They shall share alike, and he made it a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day." Wow. Unbelievable. Beloved, this is good news. And in so many layers, and I kind of want to walk you through a few things that we kind of see and that we know, understanding the picture of Christ and his church and who God is and who we are as part of God's army. And beloved, this is good news even for people who are weary. It's about we. It's always about us. You see, being a Christian is not just a personal relationship with Jesus, Although we have a personal relationship with Jesus, we are part of God's family, and we are part of the church, and we're part of it. It's not just one. We're all in it, and we all share in the pain together. We all share in the suffering together. We all share in the victory together. It's all of us. We all share in it. Isn't that awesome? I want to read to you a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says, "This is encouragement for the weary here. You little faiths, you despondencies, you much afraids, you feeble minds, that you sigh more than you sing, that you would but can't. You have had a great heart for holiness but feel beaten back in your struggles. The Lord shall give you his love, his grace, his favor, as surely as he gives it to those who does great things in his name." Wow. Is not God good? Oh, the kindness of God. You know, sometimes we think that missionaries and pastors are pretty awesome. They do all these godly things, and they're really special. And they're not. They just do different things. They have different gifts and have different callings. And you have different gifts and different callings. And sometimes the more visible people, we're like, okay, those are the special ones. Those are the ones who get the victory. But beloved, it's all. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the body of Jesus. And it says that some parts are more visible. Some parts get more honor and glory because you see them. Like my head, I mean, everyone sees it. They're like, whoa, look at that. But the pancreas, like, who cares about that? You know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, some parts are more visible than others. That's just how it is. But it says that every part is part of the body. So the victory that the body receives, the whole body receives it, right? It's not like you give special treatment to your thumb because it did something, right? We're the body. So just as one part gets glorified and shares in the victory, we all share in the victory. That's how God works. This is the truth of the kingdom of God. This is the beauty of the church. This is the beauty of the body of Christ. Beloved, that's why that what we shared at the beginning with Acts 8, the whole church went out preaching. Why? Because every part of the body is special, and every part is called, and every part's been given the Holy Spirit, and every part shared in the victory. No wonder they're excited about Jesus. Signs and wonders were being done by the apostles, but you know what? They all shared in it, right? The whole church shared in it. So, beloved, that's why your story, your faith, your obedience, we need it. Because we share in it. So when God is doing great things in you, you know what? That's my victory too, right? When God's doing great things in me, that's your victory. It's not just me. It's not just you. Doesn't matter how old you are or what season of life you're in or what you contribute or don't contribute. We all share in the spoil. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'm like, I really like being a Christian. It's amazing. Where else in the world do you find this truth? There's some things only God can do. And beloved, this is beautiful. We all share in the spoil, even those who are invisible, even those who are behind the scenes that no one knows. We all share together. I love it. Because it's about we. It's about us. You know, I also think about, so David is a type of Christ. He's a shadow of the King who's going to come. And beloved, you need to know that Jesus won a great victory. when he gave his life, surrendered his will to the Father, and was given as a sacrifice to pay for sin willingly. He was the perfect lamb that was slain. And he gave his life, and he was mocked and ridiculed, and he was hung on the cross, and he died for our sins. But beloved, because of the war that he fought, because of the war that he fought and won, and the victory that he won, because we are in him, because we are in him, pleased in him, identified with him, we share in that victory. So everything that Jesus won on the cross is ours. This is grace upon grace. This is where it's like, you can't earn salvation. What are you bringing to the table? Nothing. Oh, your sweet victory? No one knows about it, you know? But his victory, we get to partake in that. So Jesus now is seated at the right hand of God. He has established victory. Everything we need for life and godliness. Victory over sin. Victory over death. They're all ours. Courage, boldness, faith, peace, joy, love. Courage. I already said that. Maybe we need lots of courage. All these sweet things, all these victories are ours. Beloved, we are a victorious people because Jesus has already been victorious. So David's spoil is Jesus' spoil. And you know what? What Christ's spoil is our spoil. Amen? You are incredibly rich because Jesus is rich. Not because you got a bank account or you have special gifts to offer, but Jesus. Look at what Jesus won. And we're part of that, beloved. We share in that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Even the baggage crew get blessed. I don't know if you knew this, but you're part of the baggage crew. Sometimes you're out fighting, sure. But sometimes you're part of the baggage crew. You're like, I've got nothing to bring. I've got nothing to offer. I'd be happy just with my family. But that's not how it works, because we're all part of God's army. We are all part of God's army. And the victory that our King gets is our victory also. Amen?
Amen.
Beloved, I hope you are encouraged. We are all part of God's army. As soon as we surrender our lives to Jesus, we join the ranks. We join the ranks and we share in the spoils. Amen?
Amen?
Can I have you all stand up? Miguel, can you come up here? I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're in a season where you feel like you're part of those fighting and you're going for it, or if you're one of those 200 who are like, I got nothing to give. Like, what am I doing for God? Surviving. Maybe that's it. I'm surviving. You're like, I have got nothing to give. I want you to know that the Father loves you and sees you as his, sees you as part of the army, not the bench. Part of the army. It's not like there's players and bench players and get in the game. It's you're either in the army or you're not. It doesn't matter if you're part of the army by the brook, too tired, or the army fighting. We all share the spoil. Amen. So beloved, God loves you. God sees you for who you are, not what you think. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that we would know who we are. And Lord, help us to see that it's not just us, that it's all of us. And ultimately, it's about you. It's all about you, Jesus. God, thank you for the victory that you won. We're going to worship. We're going to celebrate Jesus. And if you'd like prayer during this time, there'll be people in the back to pray with. And we're also going to celebrate communion. And I don't think we're going to do it together. I think just as worship is going, I'd encourage you, the cup and the bread are over there. And the whole reason why Jesus set this up is so that we would remember. We would remember. We remember his sacrifice and ultimately his victory. And we remember that his victory is ours. So let's worship. I encourage you to have communion and just to just bask in his victory. And know that his victory is ours. Amen. If you would like prayer, we'd love to pray for you as well. Amen.